Okay, anytime that you see LMM, that means that I did the translation from the Hebrew or the Greek. It's important that you realize that, because I did the translation for some of the verses that are coming up. Ephesians 3, 8 through 11, we looked at last time. This was in the second part of the last meeting. So I'm going to go over this, and Dave, I'm going to answer the question that you had when we get to that verse in this section here. Okay. Unto me, this is Paul speaking, the least of all of God's people, has been given this pleasure, that I should bring the good news to the Gentiles, teaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all people see, and if you remember, I was telling you this particular Greek word has a reference to a room that is dark, and then someone brings light to the room. So that was how the Greek word was used in the common usage of the day. And so that's why I have in brackets here, to make all people see, that is, turn on the light in the darkness, what is the management of the sacred secret. Now, the question that Dave had in the last meeting had to do with the Greek word that I've translated management, and that is because the Textus Receptus, which is what the King James Version is translated from, contains a different spelling. And they have it translated as fellowship. And so what I did was, is I went and looked at the textual apparatus for Nestle-Aalen and Westcott-Hort, and what I found is that the Textus Receptus, that is the King James Version, is the only text that has fellowship. All other texts have administration. So that's what I found. All right, so I'm just letting you know that I did look. All right, so to make all people see what is the management of the sacred secret, great mystery. Some translations will have great mystery or something like that. Hidden away from the ages. And I put that there underlined because ages, remember, was in plural. Hidden away from the ages in God. In that, in what this is trying to say, I studied this a little more in depth over the past 2 weeks, because I wanted to make sure that I was clear in what was happening in this passage, verse 9. And what it was is that the management of the sacred secret, was hidden away from all of the ages. It was hidden in God, and it was not revealed elsewhere until the time came for it to be revealed. And what I did was, is I went to the library, and I pulled out a number of Protestant Christian scholars, the ones that I read, the ones that I respect. Some of them I've even communicated with in email. And they were, the consensus was, there was something hidden in the Almighty that was not revealed until the proper time for it to be revealed. All right, so that's kind of what this verse is talking about. Something was hidden, and then a time came for it to be revealed. Okay, who created all things? 10. In order that now, remember this was kind of an interesting text, unto the principalities and authorities in the heavenlies might be made known through the assembly. Somehow the assembly is in this process, and I need to learn what role that is. What is it that the assembly does that facilitates the plan of God? I want to know what that is. Because this clearly says, principalities and authorities in the heavenlies might be made known through the assembly the manifold wisdom of God. Now, manifold, what I did was, this was another word that I looked at in a little bit more in depth this past 2 weeks. And this was the kind of word, when used in classical Greek, it would be like somebody who put together some type of, I don't know if knitting is the right word, or crocheting, or some type of big thing with all these different intricate designs and multiple colors and all this stuff. They would say that it was manifold in beauty. It was intricate. It had a lot of detail. That type of thing. That's what the word was used in the Book of Wisdom, which is one of the intertestamental books, for example. So, something that has a great variety of forms, many-sided, very varied. The assembly is somehow involved making known the manifold wisdom of God. That means there must be a whole lot to the wisdom of God. A whole lot to it, for him to use that word there. Rarely used word. Unto principalities and authorities in the heavenly. So it's just like, man, I want to know about this thing. Verse 11, according to the plan of the ages. So this whole thing is laid out according to the plan of the ages, which he purposed in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. So I see this as, wow, this is a wow for me. This is a wow. Now I just got to figure out what I'm supposed to do. Okay? But anyway, so this is a review. Let's continue the review. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. What does the writer say? Remember, I took the KJV on this because I love the way it was worded. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. But what does the last part of that verse say? By whom also he made the ages. Yeah. And look at this again. Let's look at it. The same thing is said, but the wording is different. 11:3. Through faith, we understand what? That the ages were thoroughly prepared and made ready by the word of God. That is awesome. That is awesome. Because we are trying to focus on what is an age. What are the ages? Those things. And here we can see that the Son was active in what was happening with the ages. So I just wanted to bring this to your review, your mind of your review of what took place last time. I'm not covering everything, but I just wanted to give you these again so you could be thinking about, this is big. This is big. All right, the rest of this I'm just going to do a summary review. All right. The ages didn't initially exist, but were created by Yeshua. There are unsearchable riches related to Yeshua's first coming that need to be revealed. By the way, that word is in the plural. Just thought I'd point that out. There was a need to enlighten people about this incredible, now revealed sacred secret. The assembly plays a key role in the making known of this sacred secret to the principalities and authorities in the heavenlies. In the review of the eschatology segment, we saw that Yeshua reigns in two separate ages. And then we saw at the end, Yeshua stops reigning. We went over that passage too. All right, so this is just a summary review of what we covered in depth last time. At this time, all that oppose the rule of God have bowed the knee. This is at the end, right before Yeshua steps down. Death in all its forms is the final thing vanquished. You see that in the text. The Most High was able to explain himself, I like this, concerning time segments by the use of Chronos. How many remember Chronos from last year? Yeah. You can't forget the Klingon homeworld. Come on now. Okay. Eon, and when something was not to end, he would say, no end. And I'm going to show you the text. I'm going to put it up here. I'm going to put multiple texts up here so you can see that in action. Okay. Concerning this age, let's get started. And the Lord commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Now here's the comment. For the children of this age are in their generation more shrewd in their dealings with others like themselves than the children of light are with one another. And you know, I'm looking at this and I'm going, and why is that good? Why is this good? I don't know. I don't know why this is good. But the dishonest manager was commended. That's not my issue, though. My issue is, it's talking about the people in this age. The people in this age are more shrewd than the children of light. Okay, something to consider. You'll see that reinforced with other texts. Yeshua said, the children of this age, now the KJV had the word world there, and I'll comment on that in a moment. The children of this age marry and are given in marriage this age. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that age. Okay, so let's do the KJV here. The children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world. That would be the way the KJV would read. But the actual text is, the children of this age marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy, I'll come back to that, to obtain that age. So we're talking about another age here. This is a different age being spoken of. We got this age, and we got that age. And the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, and they can't die anymore. That's what he says. Now, let's go back to accounted worthy. I went and looked this up. I wanted to see how this word was used. And it was kind of a unique Greek word that made it clear that a person had to qualify for whatever it is that they were being rewarded with. So I think I'm going to have to look into that a little bit more. I only looked at it quickly, but I did take note, and that's why I highlighted it, that it was kind of unique. So, accounted worthy. Somehow that involves something. Got to figure that out. All right, let's continue. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. KJV, and the care of the world. The care of the world. Could work. The text says, and the care of this age, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Another place where KJV had world, but the Greek text has age. And the cares of this age, this is a duplicate passage in Mark 4:19. Once again, the word is age in the singular. KJV has the world, deceitfulness of riches, etc. You see, it's the same. It's talking about the same subject, basically. And that's why I put the world, and you can see this age. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this age. Yeah, I had that memorized differently. Be not conformed to this world is the KJV reading. Once again, this is a text where the Greek word is age there, not cosmos. And we'll see some joint passages coming up. I got some examples. But be ye, I put this in the Greek. Many Bibles will put transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word is where in the English we get our word metamorphosis. And I thought that was good. So that's why I left it in the Greek. Metamorphi would be the word here, or metamorphi. Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this age. KJV, walked according to the course of this world. Okay, could be a metaphor. I like figures of speech. Be the first one to tell you. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Some good things in that passage. Now, this is a review. Some things could not be revealed openly because they would have changed the course of God's plan. It says specifically that in the text. And the crucifixion of Yeshua is the reference. And this is here because this talks about this age. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages. So now we have something that was decided by the Almighty before the ages came into existence. So that's interesting. 8, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul is very clear about that. All right, let's continue. 1 Corinthians 1:20, this is mostly from the NASB, but the plus sign means that I did one word, and you can see which word that is based on the color. Where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? So it's talking about of this age. 3:18. Oh, now this I translated, but I left one Greek word untranslated. But I will read this Greek word. I'll pronounce it in Greek for you when we get there. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks that they are wise by the standards of this age, they should become a moron so that they may become wise. Yes, the Greek word is moron. I was shocked. I was just like, you know. But see, you know, first I looked at this and I was like, what? So then I had to go look in detail, and then I realized I wasn't reading the passage correctly. I mean, I wasn't interpreting it correctly. I was reading it correctly, but I wasn't understanding it correctly. What it is saying is that if we are wise by the standards of this age, then we're in trouble. We need to be wise based on the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of this age. Concerning the wisdom of this age, we need to not have any knowledge, which is what a moron is in the Greek. We need to not have the knowledge of the standards of this age to model our life after. So then I was like, okay, I got it now. I got it. But it was just one of those things, like it catches you off guard. They should become a moron. What? What did you say? See, that wakes up even the people who sleep in the back row, Phil. Okay. Oh, okay. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this age, KJV, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. I thought that was good. Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So now we know who is responsible for blindness. Galatians, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. So this evil age is defined as evil. The present age is defined as evil. KJV has word. Continue. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this age, that they not act proud or arrogant, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. 2 Timothy, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present age, and is departed unto Thessalonica. And finally, Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. You know what the Greek word is for worldly? Cosmos. So here in this particular sentence, or we say verse, in this particular verse, we have both eon and cosmos in the text. Now, think about this. It looks like to me worldly is once again being used as a metaphor for those things in this age. So I just put that so you could see that sometimes we get cosmos and eon in the same sentence. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, which was just said previously is an evil age. Evil age that we're in. All right. Concerning the coming ages, we're going to look at some verses that relate to this. Matthew 13:39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The KJV has the world. We'll talk about that in a second. And the reapers are the angels. Now, let me ask you a question. Are there any texts that anybody here knows of is that when Christ returns, the world comes to an end? Because that's what this verse says if you read it in the KJV. The harvest is the end of the world. That's what it says. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the age. Because then the millennial kingdom begins. So it's not the end of the world. It's the end of the age. So not a good translation there by the KJV. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this age. Once again, KJV has this world. And verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the age, the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. So you can see that this is talking about what are the events that are going to take place at the end of this age? This is a list. The disciples were aware of these things. Look what they say. This is the question that they formulate to Yeshua in Matthew 24. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age. So the disciples were not unaware of the ages. 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Which begs the question, well, what about after the age? Are you not going to be with me anymore? I want to know. I used to know a pastor who said that, lo, I am always with you. They would never fly on a plane because it says lo. That was their interpretation. I thought that was always thought about that. All right. Matthew 12:32, whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this age, neither in that which is to come. So, we're in this age. We know that there's an age to come where Yeshua reigns. We know that there's an age after that where Yeshua still reigns. And so it looks like in this age and in the millennial kingdom, there's no forgiveness. That's what this is talking about here. This situation will not find forgiveness until we get to the second age where Yeshua rules. That's what I'm getting from this passage. But it's not going to happen in the millennial kingdom, if I'm understanding this text correctly. Ephesians 1:21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So we've got something going on here in this age and the age to come. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his glory, exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Messiah Yeshua. Now, I want you to look at this. We live in an age. It's been called evil. Satan is the god of this age. We read the text. They're right there. Okay? This is what it's saying. Now look what this is saying. In the ages to come, that means automatically a minimum of two. After this age, there's two ages to come. Otherwise, it would say that in the age to come, he might show. So it's not just the millennial kingdom, but there's something afterwards that we need to find out about. Otherwise, plural would be singular, but it's plural. Continuing, Hebrews 6:5, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Oh, this one is up for debate, because I'm going to tell you how I see it. And I can't imagine that's correct. So here we go. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. That's cosmos. Foundation of the cosmos. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. All right, now. Let me tell you what I'm reading in this. I understand the foundation of the world, foundation of the cosmos. That took place after the ages were created. I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. Now, we're in this age. We know that he was put to death on the cross. We know this. So I'm thinking that sin was addressed at that time. That's what my brain is telling me. Sin was addressed at that time. But what I think this text is saying is that at the end of the ages is when he's going to put away sin. And see, he's already been sacrificed. So this is confusing to me. And we'll come back to this when we get to questions, because I want to see what you guys are seeing in this that I'm missing. Because this says the end of the ages, and it's plural. That means that when all who oppose God do not oppose anymore, then an event takes place. And I want to see what you all are thinking about this, because I'm like, it can't be what I think. All right, so let's continue. Okay, we're going to begin talking about multiple ages. Sometimes the text actually talks about more than one. Now, you've seen a couple, but I'm going to really get into it now. Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Guess what? He knows how to tell us when something is going to be eternal. There will be no end. That's pretty clear. This isn't the only place it shows up. But look what the next part says. Unto the throne of David, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth into the age. Okay, now, some Bibles will translate that as forever, but if he wanted it to be forever, he would say, there shall be no end. But he didn't say there shall be no end. He said into the age. Now, you'll notice that I've highlighted the letter S, and I've put a strike through mark in it. That's why it looks like a funny S. It's got a strike through it. The reason I did that is because in this Old Testament passage, it's in the singular. And you'll see why I did this. Just hold with me. You'll see why I did this. It's in the singular. And it was like, ooh, this is hidden. Something is hidden here. And I'm going to show you why. Let's move forward, and we can always come back. Luke 1:33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob into the ages. Now the word is plural. In Isaiah, the prophecy only gave it in the singular, but in Luke, it's given into the plural. So he has to reign at least for two ages. Of course, we've already seen that because we've already looked at the verses that state that. But I'm just saying, this is, look at what is said here. In alignment with Isaiah 9:7, this says, he shall reign over the house of Jacob for at least two ages. But what else does it say? But of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Now see, the way that many translators translate this is instead of taking the Greek word, ages, that's in the text, they change it to forever so that it appears, this is how the text would read, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob with no end, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. If you put forever for the Greek word eon, then that's how the text would actually read. But here's what's interesting. That's not what the text read. So I need for you to give me a compelling reason why I need to ignore what the underlying Hebrew and Greek says and translate it to something else. I need the compelling reason for doing this. Okay? All right. Summary. The children of this age are in their generation more shrewd. Actually, that could be scary, but I'm just saying. The children of this age marry, are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain the age to come and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. We are not to be conformed to the framework of ideas and beliefs advocated during this age. I think that's a major point of the text that we just saw. In the past, we were conformed to the framework of ideas and beliefs propounded during this age. There's a text that really says that. There are rulers of this age which are against us. We need to become a moron as regards our involvement in the framework of ideas and beliefs propounded during this age. This needs to not be our focus. If they are our focus, that's a concern. Because we need to be filled with the wisdom of God, not with the wisdom of the age, which we know is an evil age controlled by an evil entity. We know this. The harvest is at the end of this age, not the end of this world, the end of the age. The angels will sever the wicked from among the just at the end of this age. During the last days of Messiah, the disciples understood about the ages and asked pointedly about the events that would take place at the end of this age. There is a God of this age that blinds them who do not believe. We know who that is. Words spoken against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven in this age, nor the age to come. Yeshua shall reign over the house of Jacob into the ages, which have an end. We know that because the text clearly says that Yeshua then steps down and becomes a servant. That's what the text says. So I need a compelling reason to not understand that that's what it's saying. The kingdom, we saw in the Old Testament and the New Testament, clearly states the kingdom shall know no end. But the reign over it by Yeshua will see a end because the text says that it ends in multiple places. This sacred secret concerning the ages has now been revealed, and its management is apportioned to the assembly for dissemination. This was all within the plan of our Heavenly Father and according to the plan of the ages which He purposed in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. Now, what this all means, I don't know yet. But this is what the text says. This is how I'm understanding the text. And like I said, Hebrews 9:26 is a big question mark for me. But what I'm seeing is that there's a plan that is unfolding, and I think that while some things were hidden over the last few centuries, we're now at a time when things are being revealed again. This was spoken of in a prophecy that at the end time, knowledge would increase. While that can be true of things that are of the world, that can be true also of understanding what our Father's doing in heaven. So, I leave that with you. Let's take some questions.